Well, Hart, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And before I get any further, let me thank each and every one of our radio congregation that helps support the ministry. We're a small church. I say church, we're a small ministry. We're just a handful of people here in Challenge. And we could not carry on the missions we do without your support. You are the ones who support the radio ministry. You're the ones who support missions. We're taking the gospel in places where the gospel has never, ever, ever been heard before. And that, my friend, is because of you. And if you'd like to get an idea just how your money is being spent, why don't you go to our website, challengeministries.com, and go to missions and look at some of the photographs there of the places we're working. We're working in some very remote, isolated areas in northern Luzon. As a matter of fact, when Bob Mueller went over to do an analysis of our ministry for me, he was the first white man many of them had ever seen in their life. As I said, we're taking the gospel in places where it had never been heard before. You're part of that. And you can simply go to our website and see how your money is being spent. Now, I want you to know that I'm thankful. I just thank each and every one of you. You know, month after month, I sign the receipts for your contributions. Sometimes I'll put you a note on there. Sometimes you attach a note to it. And I just want you to know, you're just as much a member of the Challenge Ministries congregation as if you were sitting in the auditorium. Now, today I'm going to take you to a message I preached a couple of years ago. And let me say this going into it, because I'm going to say some very strong things leading into it. I am, without apology, not politically correct. I am not a compromiser. Challenge Ministries is not politically correct, and some of you perhaps would not be comfortable in Challenge. If you're not a word, prayer, and missions-oriented person, you probably wouldn't be. We're not a really highly structured kind of people. We just come together, we enjoy one another, we enjoy the Word of God, we enjoy prayer. But I want you to know, for those of you who support this ministry, I appreciate you so much. It is your contribution that helps us do the ministry we do in missions and put this program on the air. So once again, thank you so much. Now, going to go to this message. We're going to be leading into John chapter 15, God's Vineyard. And may God bless you as you listen.
Let's open our Bibles today to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to be talking about God's Vineyard. So we want to go to John 15. We want to welcome all of our radio listeners, internet listeners, to the broadcast here by Challenge Ministries, and want you to be blessed by the broadcast. So I want you to understand your role, if you're a born-again believer, in the vineyard of God. So our Bibles are open to John chapter 15. While you're finding John chapter 15, let me just make a couple of comments. You know, I look at what's going on in the nation today. I look at decisions made by our Supreme Court. I look at decisions made by city councils, by the Congress, both the Senate and the House, by state legislatures, and I wonder, how can it be? And then I remember Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, because in Daniel 7:25, the Word of God says, "And he," that's the spirit of Antichrist, the Antichrist, "he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." I look at the Word of God, I look at the prophetic Word of God, I look at what God has said the end times are going to look like, and I understand why the Supreme Court makes the decisions that it makes, why city councils make the decisions that they make, why the Congress makes the decisions they make. But I go back to the Word of God. I go back to the Word of God, and I go back to Genesis, when God was creating man. And we know that God created man out of the dust of the earth. He created man out of the dust of the earth. And then the Word tells us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." In other words, I'll make one that is suitable for him. So what did God deem was suitable for man? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's one of the reasons that we do the concerts of prayer. That's one of the reasons that we do the concerts of prayer, because we want to call on God to do what only God can do. I've read the Word of God. Listen, I'm not the brightest bulb at the campground, and I know that. But neither did I come in on a load of cabbages yesterday. I've been in the Word for some time. I just know what the Word of God says. I'm not going to be sidetracked. I'm not going to be deceived. The Word of God makes it very, very clear what the end times are going to look like. And we just got through reading in the Word of God that those of the spirit of Antichrist will make laws, make wrong look right and right look wrong. And we're seeing that happen in our cities. We're seeing that happen in our states. We're seeing that happen in our nations. In recent days, I asked you if you were a spiritual warrior. You see, as a believer priest, you are a spiritual warrior if you're true to the Word of God. I asked if you were a warrior priest. And I've asked, or we need to ask ourselves, am I some kind of spiritual wimp? Remember what Jesus said? He said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then the Word of God reminds us that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Word of God tells us, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, reminding us that we are in a war, the Word of God says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which have been known before you, that you might by them wage a good warfare. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:24, he said, No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, meaning you don't get caught up in the prosperity doctrine. You don't get caught up in all the things of life, but rather you stand for the kingdom of God. You stand solidly for the kingdom of God, and you do everything you can to advance the kingdom of God, that he may please him who hath called you to be a soldier. Now, I told you in recent days that we have many in the Congress who oppose the kingdom of God. We have a lot of people in the office of governor, mayors. We have city councilmen who oppose the kingdom of God. You can tell what a person stands for and what they stand against by what they approve. You can tell if they're a child of God or a child of the devil by what they embrace and what they do not embrace, what they approve of, what they do not approve of. You see, there are those in positions of religious leadership also that oppose the kingdom of God. Much of corporate America, as I've been telling you in recent days, has or is embracing the satanic agenda opposing the kingdom of God. The sports industry in America, a lot of it is embracing the satanic agenda opposing the kingdom of God. The abortion industry embraces the satanic agenda opposing the kingdom of God. That is why we do the concerts of prayer, which God moved on our heart. Guess when I found out, when God told me to do concerts of prayer, and I started researching, guess what I found out about concerts of prayer. Guess who did concerts of prayer many, many years ago? You'd be surprised to find out that Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, that man has shook the nation for God. God told him to do concerts of prayer, and he did. I want you to become a prayer warrior. We need prayer for our city. We need prayer for the state, and we need prayer for our nation. You have to understand the signs of the times we're living in. And if you get into the Word of God and just read the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God make it real to you, you will better understand where we are as a nation. You have to understand the signs of the times. I wonder how many of you see, even in the commercials on television, the seething of the mind by trying to, if you will, portray women in masculine roles. I wonder if you see how they're trying to seed your mind with trying to make masculinity a part of womanhood. I have a wife that I love with all my heart. I have a daughter that I love with all my heart. I love my wife and my daughter. Love my son-in-law. But I'm here to say to you that as a Biblicist, and being aware of what is going to happen in the last days, I see what Satan. Now look at the satanic agenda, which is why in the concerts of prayer we pray against the satanic agenda. We stand against the satanic agenda. We do it at the city level. We do it at the state level. And we do it at the national level. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a believer warrior. I want you to be a part of the Children's Ministry's prayer base. Let me tell you something, church. I don't care what denomination you come from. I'm here to tell you, based on the Word of God, and I challenge you to prove me wrong, using nothing but the Word of God. Using nothing but the Word of God, I challenge you to prove me wrong. But you have to understand that there's some tough times in the years ahead for the church. And slowly but surely, inexorably, Satan is implementing his agenda. He's changing laws. He's trying to make wrong look right and right look wrong. That's exactly what Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 said he would do. That's why we do the concerts of prayer. And let's just go before the throne of God as warrior priest on behalf of the kingdom of God, shall we?
When we stop and think about the cross, we ask ourselves and we ask God, how could someone like you, holy, omniscient, omnipotent God, love someone like me? But thank you. Thank you for doing so.
My Father and my God, Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank you for the cross. I thank you for the blood that you shed on that cross. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your patience and your gentleness with me. I thank you for salvaging my soul. I thank you for salvaging my life. I thank you, my Lord and my God. And Father, we understand when we look in the Word of God that the spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent and so busy and so working in the world today. Yes, exactly what your word says. They will work to incite laws and enact laws that make right look wrong and wrong look right, and they're doing that. And then, Father, we have those who will not stand on the Word of God for the Word of God, but we thank you for those of us who have been born again, that you put us in a position that we can draw on the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. That you, Jesus, when you came out of that tomb, you defeated Satan, sin, sickness, disease, and death. You had defeated everything that sin brought into the world when Adam and Eve sinned. And we thank you, Jesus, that you single-handedly, alone, defeated everything Satan had to offer and Satan himself. And Father, we thank you for the throne. We thank you for your throne. We thank you that you are the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of this universe. And Jesus, we thank you in your death, burial, resurrection, ascension, that you're seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you ever make intercession for us. And now, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll anoint me to teach this in such a way that your people can receive it, that I can better receive it and understand it, and that we can be the people of God that you've called us to be, that we can be the believer priest, the warrior priest that you've called us to be. In this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Before I go any further, let me ask you a question. A.W. Tozier asked this question. He told us some what it means. When you hear the word God, when you hear the word Jehovah, when you hear Jehovah God, what thoughts cross through your mind? Now think about it. I want you to answer that for yourself. When you hear the word God, when you hear the name of God, Jehovah God, how do you visualize God? What do you think about? What kind of thoughts come through your mind? You see, when I think of God, I think of God of love, God of mercy, God of grace, God of patience, God of gentleness, God of understanding, God of all power, almighty God, and yes, a God of justice. All of that, when I think about God, when I thank him that he is my heavenly Father, having been born again, he is my heavenly Father. If you've been born again, he is your heavenly Father. But I'm afraid that too many times we don't take the time to stop and ask ourselves, how do I visualize my heavenly Father? How do I define my heavenly Father? How do I think, and what do I think about my heavenly Father? Now, as we come to John chapter 15, we're going to talk about the vineyard of God, the Lord's vineyard, if you will. So we begin with verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine. In the Lord's vineyard, Jesus said, I am the true vine. The true vine is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. The true vine is not the pastor in the pulpit, nor the preacher, nor the evangelist, nor the apostle, nor the teacher. No, the true vine is not the pope, nor any bishop, nor any priest. The true vine is not the denomination that you belong to. No, the true vine is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the true vine. You see, he is the source of everything that is worthwhile in your life. He is the source of your existence. Were it not for Jesus Christ, you would not exist. I would not exist. So he is the source of our existence. He's the source of my next heartbeat. Think of it like this, that every time my heart beats, it looks up at Jesus and says, shall I beat again? And Jesus gives it the nod, yes or no. My next breath is from him. My next breath is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him were all things created, and nothing was created without him. So he is not only, he as the branch, he is the source of all of God's blessings and all of God's promises. He is the source of our existence. Jesus is the true vine. He's the source of our salvation. Baptism is not the source of salvation. It's a good thing to be baptized once you are born again. If you have the opportunity to be baptized, the thief on the cross did not have the opportunity to be baptized. So Jesus said to him, this day you will see me in paradise. So many have been deceived thinking that because they were christened as a child, as an infant, that they are right with God. Wrong. Jesus said, you must be born again. He was talking to a religious leader, Nicodemus, when he said that. He said, you must be born again. He is the true vine. Until you are related to Jesus Christ through the new birth, once you're born again, you're adopted into the family of God. You're a child of God. Once you are born again, you become a believer priest. as a believer priest, you're to minister to God and for God and on behalf of God. As a believer priest, you're involved in the things of this life. You're to be salt. You're to be light. As salt, you add a preservative to our society. You cannot do that if you're politically correct. If you're politically correct, you cannot really be salt, nor can you be light. See, so many of God's people are trying to mix and mingle with circumstances, situations, or groups of people, and in doing so, they compromise their saltiness, they compromise their light, they compromise their witness, they compromise their testimony, and failed in their mission as a branch. Now, Jesus is the true vine. Those of us who have been born again are branches. Where are we branches? Jesus says, my Father is the husbandman, meaning my Father is the caretaker. My Father is the caretaker. The Word of God tells us that God marks the falling of a sparrow from the sky. The Word of God tells us that he knows the number of hairs on your head. You see, I asked you a moment ago, what do you think of God when you hear the name God, when you hear the word God, when you hear the name Jehovah God, what do you think? In your mind, is he omniscient? Does he have all knowledge? Is he all powerful? Is he everywhere present? Did he know before the foundation of the world who would and who would not be born again? Did anybody catch him by surprise when they were born again? Did anybody catch him by surprise when they refused him? I was never an embracer. I never embraced Calvinism. I do not believe that God predestined some to be saved and some to be lost. I can't go there. Why? Because the Word of God says that God is not willing that any should perish. So therefore, if God did not will that any should perish, God did not will that any would perish. But God knew. Foreknowledge does not mean predestination. God has never learned anything new. God knew before the foundation of the world who would be born again and who would not be born again. He knew who would choose to die and go to heaven and who would choose to die and go to hell. And he is the caretaker of the vineyard, if you will. Now, I am a branch off the vine. If you've been born again, you are a branch off the vine. And watch what Jesus says about the branches. Every branch in me. How do you get into Jesus? By being born again. Are you saying to me, Bob, that I cannot belong to Jesus and be in Jesus by belonging to this church or that church or this denomination or that denomination or just by being baptized? No, I'm not saying that to you. That's what Jesus is saying to you. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, there's two or three different interpretive schemes on that, and I'm going to show you where I belong with this. Number one, he taketh away. Some have thought that that meant that if you were not a soul winner, then you would be taken out. You could lose your life. I don't go with that. I do not accept that interpretive scheme. Why? Because not everybody is a soul winner. Now, everybody is a witness, and everybody is a light, and you can be a witness, and you are a witness, good or bad, wherever you are, in the office, in the workplace, in the community. So everybody can be a witness, everybody can be salt, everybody can be light, but not everybody is the one who, if you will, closes the deal. Not everyone is the one who sits down and shares the gospel with an individual and have them receive Christ. Some of you just take them to church. Or you share your testimony with them, and they watch your lifestyle, and that way they come to Christ. No, what I see here, I go to the interpretive screen that says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, what are we talking about? Well, let's slow down just a minute, shall we, talk about twigs. Every branch has twigs on it. And God, the husband, if you will, the caretaker, every day of the world is watching over his vineyard. He knows what every single last one of us in the vineyard, the kind of lifestyle we're living, He knows what we're a part of and what we're not a part of. He knows what we embrace and what we do not embrace. Why, the Word of God tells us He knows our very thoughts. You see, you have to come to grips with, what do I really believe about God? Do I really believe that God is all-knowing? Do I really believe that God is everywhere present? Do I really believe that God is all-powerful? He said to Jeremiah, is anything too hard for the Lord? You have to ask yourself that question. Do I think anything is too hard for Him? So Jesus says, every branch in me. You don't become a branch till you become attached to Jesus. You've got to be born again to even be a branch in the vineyard. That bears not fruit, He takes away. Now, here's another interpretive scheme on that. If you're not developing the fruit, now what fruit are we talking about? Now, some talk about that as being soul winning. Others, as well as myself, go over to Galatians chapter 5, and they look at the fruit of the Spirit. Are you developing the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit being developed in your life? Well, what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? We come to Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that means patience, I'm short there, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, that means humility, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, you can sit down with the Word of God, and you can say, number one, what do I believe about God? What do I really believe about God? What do I believe about Jesus? What do I believe about the Holy Spirit? What do I believe about the Word of God? And then you can sit down with the Word of God, and you can say, well, let me do a personal self-inventory here, and let me just check myself against what the fruit of the Spirit is according to the Word of God. Let's look at it again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You can have happiness without having joy. You can have some happiness without having joy. You see, when you have the joy of the Lord, that joy is going to carry you through times of discouragement. It will carry you through times of disappointment. It will carry you through hard times. Happiness comes and goes. But the joy of the Lord, when you realize who He is and all He is and all He's done for you, when you realize everything that is available to you through and in and through Jesus Christ, when you think of all the promises of God, when you think of all the blessings of God, when you think of all the liberty and freedom in God, when you realize all that, now you can walk in joy. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do you have peace of God? You can't have the peace of God unless you have peace with God, and you can only get peace with God as you are born again, as you come to Christ. So the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. As I said, I'm weak there. I realize my weakness there, so I have to pray about it. You see, if I look into the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I say to myself, wait a minute, Bob, you're a little bit short here on this one, then I can start recognizing that. I can discuss with my Heavenly Father. I can say, Lord, I'm short here. I'm missing it here, and I can pray that. And then gentleness, goodness, faith. How are you in faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, I've got to have faith if I want to please God. How do I develop my faith? I get into the Word of God. I have to study the Word of God. I have to get to know the Word of God. Then I have to act. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. See, some of you out there, we've been praying these prayers that we hope are prayers of faith, but we're doing nothing on our part to give God something to work with. Did you hear what I got through saying? We need to give God something to work with as we pray our prayers. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith without works is dead. So now I've got to take a long, strong look at faith and say, what is my faith level? Where is my faith level? Am I developing my faith? Am I exercising my faith? Am I praying my faith? Am I believing the Word of God? So we've got faith, we've got meekness. That's, as I said, humility, temperance, self-control. Against such there's no law. So the word is saying that if you're not developing the fruit of the Spirit, number one, when we talk about taking away, yes, that can mean that God can take a life. But let me tell you something else it means. It means that the Holy Spirit no longer enables and empowers. It's not a loss of salvation. It is a loss of anointing. It is a loss, if you will. Have you ever heard or read about preachers that knew that they had been put on the shelf? I mean, I'm referred to it that way. They know that somewhere they missed God. Somewhere they did not obey God. Somewhere they did not make the stands that they needed to make for the kingdom of God, on behalf of the kingdom of God. Folks, we're living in a nation today where preachers cannot afford to be politically correct. Pastors, preachers cannot afford to be politically correct. We cannot afford to compromise. We have got to stand on the word of God, stand for what is godly, stand against what is ungodly, and call the shot and preach it directly as the word of God teaches it. And so when you talk to a preacher, and we've heard of these men who were placed on the shelf, and some were just placed on the shelf for a season, but the anointing was lifted. The enablement was lifted. The ability was lifted. And that's happened to people who are non-preachers, that because they kept quenching the Spirit of God, they continued to grieve the Spirit of God, they lost the anointing. And God set them aside. And they were not being used for the kingdom of God. And they knew that. And they recognized that. That's not a pleasant place to be. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. Purges it? Well, what does that mean? It means he's going to take the twigs off the branch. Now, Jesus is the vine. Those of us who are believers are the branches. We're the branches off the vine. But many times the branches develop twigs. Those twigs are non-productive. All those twigs do is draw life from the branch, but they don't produce anything. They're just simply drawing life from the branch. So we go before the Lord, and we say, Lord, I want to be pruned. I want to be purged. I want you to identify the things in my life that are not productive for the kingdom of God, that are hindering me in my walk with you, that are hindering me in my spiritual growth. Now, folks, I hope you've got ears to hear what I'm saying now. You see, what I'm saying is these twigs in your life may not necessarily be sin themselves. They themselves may not be sinful acts, but it's something in your life that is hindering your spiritual growth. It could be a relationship you're involved with. It could be some associations you're involved with. It could be that social group you're involved with. It could be the Masonic Lodge. I realize that some of you don't like me to say that, but you see, you can't be in the Masonic Lodge and live a Spirit-filled life. You can't do it because the Masonic Lodge itself is unspiritual. You cannot be a part of that. You cannot be a part of any relationship, any association with anything or any group of people that takes away from the life of Christ in your life. Now, these twigs, as I said, are not necessarily, why did I say Masonic Lodge? Because it's so prevalent. It's so prevalent. And if you're going to be politically correct, that's a twig on the branch that is drawing vitality and causing you spiritual life. You can't be a compromiser. You've got to stand on the word of God. Either you're going to be, partial obedience is total disobedience. Partial obedience is total disobedience. So you have to be honest with yourself and with God and recognize it may be a television show you're watching. It may be music you're listening to. It may be something that you're reading, that deep down in your spirit you know that there's this little check in the spirit. I shouldn't be involved with this music. I shouldn't be involved in this type of television. I shouldn't be involved in these kinds of movies. There's just things that I, as a child of God, as a believer priest, as one who's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, as one who's been born again and dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, there are certain things I cannot be a part of. There are conversations I cannot be a part of, and neither can you. But these represent many times the little twigs that are growing off the branches. I would rather myself identify the twig, recognize it as a twig, recognize that this is a practice or a habit in my life that is in some way draining me of spiritual vitality, that in some way is hindering me in my walk with the Lord, and identify it myself and call it sin. Confess it as sin and leave it. In other words, I would rather, if you will, remove the twig off myself, out of my life, than force God to do so. Because sometimes God is a loving God. God is love. God is mercy. God is grace. But God is also God of justice. He's gentle. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's gentle. But there comes a time in the life of the believer when if that twig is not dealt with and that twig continues to hinder that individual in their walk with the Lord, continues to hinder their drawing the vitality, the spiritual strength they need from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the branch, then that twig has to be dealt with. Well, I'd rather deal with it myself than force my Heavenly Father to deal with it, wouldn't you? So Jesus goes on now. He says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, he's going to deal with those things in order to get them out of your life so that you can become more fruitful for the kingdom of God. Now we come down to verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, you are now clean through the word. You see, the word of God cleanses, which is why Satan did not want the word of God in the classrooms, which is why there's an all-out assault on the word of God in nations across the world today, which is why there's an ongoing assault against even a monument or memento or anything that has scripture inscribed on it. Satan hates scripture. Satan hates everything about God. Satan hates everything about the kingdom of God. And every living human being on the face of the earth is either a child of God or a child of the devil. I don't care what position they hold. And yes, some of them are in pulpits. Yes, some of them are in religious systems. But they're agents of Satan. And Satan has worked them into the system in order to in some way cause that system not to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and in some way hinder the growth of the kingdom of God in that system. Jesus said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're not going to make it just on reading a devotional every morning. I get Charles Stanley's morning devotion. I read Charles Spurgeon. I read Oswald Chambers. I go to three or four different devotions just sometimes to kind of start warming my spirit up to get into the word of God and get into prayer. But if you're not in the word of God, then you're going to be getting all kinds of twigs in your life. If you're not in the word of God is going to cleanse you, because as you read the word of God, as you understand the word of God, and you see from the word of God that this thing in my life is not right, then you got to get it right, because the Holy Spirit is going to convict you and empower you and enable you to get that thing right. And so Jesus said, now you're clean. The word cleanses your spirit. The word cleanses your soul. That's why you need to be in the word. You need to be in discipleship. You need to be in and under the word of God on a daily, daily basis. 1 hour a week or 30, 45 minute sermon on Sunday morning is not going to get it done. No, you need to be in the word and under the word and get yourself under the word as much as you can get yourself under the word in order to continually be cleansed and be continually having twigs revealed that either you can deal with or God's going to deal with. Now we come to verse 4 of John 15. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. How do I abide in Christ? I submit, and I surrender to his lordship. Abide in me, and I in you. You see, I cannot abide in him unless he is abiding in me. Did you hear me? I cannot abide in Christ, abide is where you live. That's where you find your rest. That's where you find your comfort. That's where you find your joy. That's where you find your peace. That's where you're satisfied. That's where you're at ease, where you abide. I walk in the front door of our residence, and I just kind of breathe. My wife and I both, many times, we just kind of exhale. I'm home. I'm shutting the door. I'm shutting the world out. We're locking the door, and I'm here where I abide. This is where I abide. My marriage, folks, I'll tell you, I've got one of the greatest marriages in the world. Love my wife with all my heart. Love my wife. Love my daughter. Love my wife. And my home, the thing we do most in our home is laugh. We laugh a lot. There's joy in my home. You see, when you're in Christ, you can know the joy of the Lord. When you are abiding in Christ, you can know the joy of the Lord. And then there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's total rest in my home. The conflict is not there. Well, that's what happens when you abide in Christ. When you abide in Christ, that is where you are comfortable. You have the joy of the Lord. You have peace in your spirit. But when you abide in Christ, that's where you are happy. That's where you're fulfilled. And if you don't know Christ, you can't do that. And so many of you know Christ, or you claim to know Christ, but you're not abiding in Christ. And you don't know that joy. You don't know that peace. You don't know that fulfillment and that rest. And there's an anxiety and there's an undercurrent of unrest in your spirit. I'm saying to you, abide in Christ. Do what I'm telling you to do from the Word of God, and you will know that peace. You will know that rest. You will know that comfort. You will be the one who's abiding. And he says, you abide in me, and I in you. So you see, I can't abide, he can't abide in me unless I'm abiding in him. And the only way I can abide in him is I must be born again. Being christened as an infant won't get it done. Being baptized won't get it done. Having church membership won't get it done. No, 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 no. I've got to be born again, is what Jesus said. You must be born again. Now he goes on. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. He says you cannot produce the fruit of your Christian life. You cannot be producing this fruit and permitting this fruit and let the Holy Spirit work in your life. You cannot be a fruit producer unless you're abiding in me. In other words, you can't do anything without me. You cannot do anything of any value, whatever. And he makes that very clear in the next verse. He says, I am the vine. In verse 5, I am the vine. Remember with the vine? The vine is the branch, is the source of everything. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, I cannot accomplish one thing of any value for the kingdom of God short of the anointing, enablement, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. And I cannot receive the anointing, the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God until I'm born again. Once I'm born again, the Word of God tells me that my body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says to those of us who've been born again, we're a purchased possession. I don't belong to me. Who do I belong to? I belong to God. What was the purchase price? Christ on the cross. Jesus went to the cross, paid my sin debt, and I had a heavy sin debt to be paid. Trust me, I had a heavy, heavy, heavy sin debt to be paid. But Jesus paid my sin debt. And because Jesus paid my sin debt, cleansed me with his blood, washed me by his blood, gave his blood as a sacrifice for my salvation, now I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. If you have been truly born again, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God as one who's been indwelt and enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. You can now produce the fruit of the kingdom. But Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. We can absolutely provide nothing without the anointing, the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, having been born again. Now look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now you've got people who've never been born again. Notice he said, if you abide not in me. This is the result of those who do not abide in Jesus Christ. They've never been born again. Well, what happens to them? He says, if you abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He's simply saying that this is the end result of that individual who's never been born again. I'm working on a sermon right now. I'm probably going to preach the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. You ready for the title? Here's the title. What would you give God not to have your soul cast in hell when you die? Yeah, that's the title of the message. I'm going to preach that sometime, hopefully the next 3 or 4 or 5 days. What would you give God not to go to hell when you die? Because, you see, if you die without having been born again, you're going to hell. You're not going to a purgatory. There's no second chance. Nowhere in the Bible you find a second chance. You're going to go to hell if you die without Christ. But if you abide in him, you've been born again, now you can be productive for the kingdom of God, and you can receive the promises of God, the blessings of God, and the fullness of the love of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm going to start wrapping this up now. Jesus talked to the branches now. He's talking to the branches, those who really are born again. He is the vine, we're the branch. If you abide in me and my words, now the word's not going to abide in you unless you're in the word. In order to have the word abiding in you, you've got to get into the word. And he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, the word of God tells us in Romans chapter 5 and chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means that every human being, this side of Adam, has been born a sinner. Adam was created innocent. Eve was created innocent. They sinned. They became sinners. And the word of God tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now that's for the individual. I want those individuals who do not know Christ yet, who do not realize what it means to be in Christ. I want you to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Pope cannot help you. Mary cannot help you. Peter cannot help you. Your denomination cannot help you. No, it has to be Jesus. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Now, for those of us who've been born again, and for those of you who want to be born again, look to what Jesus said in his word in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, don't give up on yourself. God's not going to give up on you. When you come through your times of discouragement and your times of depression, when you come through times of defeat, when you come through times that it seems like the heavens have turned to brass and your prayers are not getting through, the Word of God says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. No twigs. We get rid of the twigs. We identify the twigs. We call them what they are, and we call them sin, and we disassociate ourselves from those twigs out of our lives. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Folks, pray big prayers. Pray big prayers. Pray big prayers for your family members who are lost. Pray big prayers for that child that's gone astray. Pray big prayers for that marriage that's almost on the rocks. Pray big prayers for our nation. Pray big prayers for our federal judicial system. Pray big prayers for our educational system. Pray big prayers for the church in America. Pray big prayers asking God for spiritual renewal and spiritual revival. You see, you as a branch, hear me now as I close this out. You as a branch are connected to the vine. The vine is Jesus. You draw your strength. You draw your spiritual vitality. You draw spiritual wisdom, insight, understanding, patience, gentleness, hope. You draw all that from Him. That's why you don't want a bunch of stuff and a lot of stuff in your life that is robbing you of the vitality of the spiritual life that can flow to you from Christ the vine into you the branch if you will not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Hear me, people of God. We need people today who are saying, I'm going to get the twigs out of my life. I'm going to identify every twig. I want to deal with it before God the Father has to deal with it. When God the Father has to deal with it, it may not be a pleasant dealing. I'm saying to you, this physical suffering, emotional suffering, there's suffering in the body of Christ today that does not have to be there. Did not have to be there. Does not have to be there. Why? Because we have simply not taken His word seriously, responded. And I'm not talking legalism. I'm talking biblical Christianity. I am talking biblical Christianity. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to understand you have access to every blessing, every promise of God. You have access as a branch attached to the vine. You have access to every promise and every blessing of God. And I don't want you to miss out on one single blessing, one single promise. Let's just make up our minds today. Father, I'm going to identify the twigs in my life. I'm going to deal with the twigs. And the ones I miss, Father, I'm asking you to purge me, purify me, and cleanse me. In closing, I want to invite someone who may not yet have come to Christ. I want you to come to Christ today. You say, Bob, what do I have to do to come? Just be willing. Just be willing. If you sense or feel anything at all that you would like to know Christ as your Savior, if you feel or sense that, Bob, I want my life to change, I want to be all that God would let me be for Him. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want my past to be forgotten. I want to become that new creation that the Word of God says I can become when I'm born again. I want you to pray a prayer something like this. The song's playing is just as I am. That's how you have to come to Christ. No, you don't have to try to work anything up or make anything up or do anything else. Just simply come like a child to Jesus. And you might want to pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm a sinner. I have sinned against You. I've sinned against Your word. I'm not worthy of salvation. I'm not worthy of Christ on the cross. I'm not worthy of the blood that Christ shed for me. But I come, Jesus. In simple childlike faith, I come asking You, forgive me for my sins. Put my sins to death in Yourself. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Master. I choose this day to yield myself to You. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Did you find yourself a Bible-believing church, you tell the pastor you've been born again that you want to be baptized and then enjoy the life that only Christ can give you.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the privilege of sharing Your word with these precious souls today. And Father God, I'm just simply asking You to stir the hearts of Your people. Stir the hearts of your people to fervency, faithfulness, in their walk with you and in prayer. Father, anoint us to be fruitful branches on the vine. And Father God, I pray if there's one single soul that today has prayed that prayer, has asked Christ Jesus into the heart, that this is the day that you will make that so real to them. And Father, for those who have strayed, for those who have faltered, for those who have fallen, I'm asking you, my Father, my God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, bring illumination, understanding, and bring them back home. Like the prodigal who left home but came back home, bring those back home who have strayed, and let them know that the porch light is on. The porch light is on, and they'll be welcome at the door. They'll be embraced, they'll be loved, and they'll be restored. And then, Father, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge, and until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.